obligations here. Okay. All right. So really, the way I was given the opportunity to give this vat tonight is that Rabbi Schwartz was talking to the Rosh Yeshiva. They said, you know, maybe we should respect the Chassidish Minhag of Nittelnacht. Maybe we shouldn't have a vad on this Thursday night. They weren't really sure, you know, that's not really, we never canceled Seder in Yeshiva, but so, you know what, as a pshara, we'll just ask Rabbi Gita to speak. Solve all the problems. That was the Eitzah. Okay, anyways, Yishkayach Rabbi Schwartz for giving me the opportunity over here. Yishkayach to everyone who's joining. It's an unusual opportunity to give a little vat here to the alumni. I was talking to one of our local rabbanim, and he called me about a certain baal bas that I had a kesher with that was having a hard time in his marriage. So in the conversation, he asked me, do I know any good marriage therapists? So I said, Rabbi, I said, you're getting this all mixed up. I said, you're in the business of keeping them together. I'm in the business of breaking them up. You know, so I don't really have the opportunity to speak with Heber this age too often. How you doing, Seth?
All right.
Good to hear you. Okay. Anyways, so I figured having the opportunity to speak to Chevra, older Chevra alumni, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the topic of relationships and staying together rather than the usual of relationships and breaking up. A little change of perspective with the change of age. So we'll try that. I remember the Rosh Yeshiva, I don't remember exactly the details of the shmooze, but I remember the Rosh Yeshiva quoting, saying over a shmooze, I don't remember which part was the shmooze, which part was the chazal, but in the beginning of Parshas Naso, where it talks about the situation of the sota. So there's a smichas to other inyanim of ben adam l'chavero, and the explanation of the smichas over there is that really the home, the situation at home, is a midos workshop, and that's where everything starts from. And if a person could actually develop his midos properly at home, it'll spread to everywhere else. And when it doesn't work out too well at home, that also spreads to everywhere else. That's the makar of the development of the midos. There's actually a mitzvah of the simachas ishto. You got to make your wife happy. Okay, if you want to get technical, it's really only in the first year. It's only in the Shana Rishona, and it's brought down talking about where. If you look at halacha, the practical halacha of that, the way somebody would possibly violate that mitzvah, is by leaving his wife for an extended period of time within Shana Rishona. But the reason for that mitzvah is to, in other words, that's the tzura of how you fulfill that mitzvah, how you violate that mitzvah. But the goal of being home is to be misameach your wife. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes being away might bring your more simcha, but we're trying to avoid that. And there's actually a mitzvah saseh, at least in the Shana Rishona, of a simachas ishto to form that relationship through being misameach a person's wife. Even beyond that, the first year of that mitzvah of besimachas ishto, we find when the malachim came to Avram and Sarah, so the malachim say to Avram, "Ayei Sarah ishtecha," and Sarah responds, And Avram responds, she's in the oil. So Rashi is bothered by the Kasha. If I remember correctly, he's quoting the Gemara that the Malachim knew where Sarah was. Why are they asking that question? And Rashi explains, because the Malachim were expecting Avram to answer that she's in the tent. That would help Avram appreciate the fact that she's at Tznuah. And that would, Kadei L'chavaval Bailon, in order to create a higher level of Chavivus between Avram and Sarah. Avram was the epitome of Baal Chesed. He was the epitome of Ben Olam L'chavero, right? He's being misfollow over here on his third day after the Bris Milo that he should have the opportunity to do a Chesed, to do Achnasas Archim. You can imagine the type of relationship that he had with his wife. But yet, the Malachim felt, Mestama, they were really directed by Hashem, that they should be taking that relationship up a notch. The Malachim had very specific jobs and very, very important jobs. They came to tell Avram and Sarah that they would have a son. They came to destroy Sodom. They came to save Lot. They came to do one more thing. Let's take that relationship, which was probably an incredible relationship already, take it up a notch. So certainly in Hashem's eyes, taking that relationship up a notch gets a tremendous chashivus. And if we could figure out how to do it, that would be gevaldik. How do you bring somebody simcha? There are probably a lot of different ways, but there's one very interesting and probably pretty easy if you put your mind to it. We say in Shabbos davening, Yismach Moshe Matnas Chalko, that Moshe became happy with Matnas Chalko. What was the Matnas Chalko? So the Avi Drum learns that the Matana that he got was Ki Evan Nemon Karasulo. And Hashem told him he was an Evan Nemon. And it's Mashra from the Avi Drum. It seems that he's learning that the same Simcha that Noah had when Noah realized that he was on the right path as he was in the Teva and everybody else was getting destroyed, and he realized that he made the right decision, that same Simcha is the Simcha that Moshe Rabbeinu had when he was called an Evan Neman by Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was an Evan Neman. He knew he was doing the right thing. Right? Hashem took him up on Har Sinai, gave him the Torah. I think Moshe Rabbeinu had a pretty good understanding of what it meant to be a good Jew, and he knew he was an Evan Neman. But hearing that from Hashem, hearing that compliment, even was something that he knew, was something that brought him simcha to the extent that Noah had simcha. Noah was taka masufik. He didn't know if the world was going to get destroyed. He didn't know if he had to be as big of a tzaddik as he was. And when the mabul hit, he got that satisfaction. All right, Baruch Hashem, I see I was on the right path here. I made good decisions. I'm not out there getting destroyed. I'm in here getting saved. That same simcha that Noah had, Moshe Rabbeinu had when he was given that compliment by Hashem. The power of a compliment is tremendous. I think particularly to a wife, a compliment is tremendous. When the compliment is that she's doing a good job as a wife and doing a good job taking care of you, I think that compliment is tremendous. I remember hearing from Rabbi Trapper, we say, Chazal say, Ezeo isha k'shera ha'osar its own baila. So that means that's how Hashem wired the woman, that she'll be getting, her job is to do the Ritzon Baila, and she gets a tremendous satisfaction out of doing the Ritzon Baila. By the way, if anybody has any questions, feel free to interrupt. I'm teaching high school still, so I'm not used to talking so long without people interrupting or at least making funny faces on Zoom. So please feel free to do what you need to do. Anyways.
Does that mean I can make funny faces on Zoom, or is that?
Thank you. So Hashem created the woman with that teva of wanting to do the Ritzon Baila. And when she hears from her husband that her husband's satisfied with how she's doing the Ritzon Baila or appreciates how she's doing the Ritzon Baila, it's going to make her feel like a million bucks, because that's a tremendous part of her tafkid. So it's not just a compliment. It's not just a thank you. It's not just letting her know that she's doing a good job, but a compliment from her husband, that her husband feels that she's doing the Ritzon Baila, that she's really taking care of him, is huge for her self-worth, for her son, for her sense of accomplishment is more like it, because that's a tremendous part of her tafkid, and Hashem wired her that that's what she wants to do. And that's probably the best way to know that she's doing that, that she's fulfilling her tafkid, when she hears it from her husband. So looking for those opportunities to compliment and to help her realize that you're appreciating it and that she's doing a good job is something that could bring a tremendous, tremendous amount of simcha. Compliments really do a lot more than that, because if your mindset is, let me look for opportunities to compliment, let me look for opportunities to convey my appreciation, then that will change your whole mindset also. How did the Malachim create the Chavivus? The way they created the Chavivus was by getting Avram Avinu to stop and think for a minute about a Milo that his wife Sarah has, which of course he knew that she had. He was married to her for many years by now. I don't know the cheshbon, but it was many decades by now. He was married to her already. He knew that she was a tznua. But by saying she's in the tent, it brought it into his focus. Now, that wasn't even a compliment, because Sarah didn't even hear what Avram was saying. So he wasn't even complimenting Sarah. He wasn't even complimenting Sarah to the Malachim. It was sort of a between the lines compliment. He was just telling the Malachim where Sarah was, and then that got him to stop and think, hey, I like that. She's a tznua. And that created Chavivus. So complimenting is not just a way to bring her simcha, but it will create Chavivus, because it brings into focus the milas that we should be appreciating. And that itself creates chavivus from our end. So it puts her in a good mood. It brings her simcha, happy wife, happy life. It brings you into focus of the milus of the person that you're complimenting. And it could take that chavivus up to a much higher level. I think we could take it a step further with another little daher. When Rivka was convincing Yaakov and helping Yaakov to go get the brachos from Yitzchak, so Rivka was doing everything that she could to get Yaakov to go with the brachos. And Yaakov was nervous he was going to end up with a klala. She promised him a lai klalascha b'ni. Rivka got Yaakov dressed so that he'll feel like Esau. Rivka helped Yaakov prepare the food. And Yaakov's about to walk into the room. Now, Yaakov knew that the future of Klal Yisrael is totally on these brachos. That's why he's really risking his life to go get these klalos. And Itaka had to run away from Esau to get these brachos. Itaka had to run away from Esau for years, because he was afraid Esav was going to kill him. It was Taka, he put himself into a very dangerous situation. So he was very motivated to do what he needed to do to get the brachos properly. Yet, if the Medrash says, and I think it's explained by the Feitar, the Medrash says that when Rivka got to the door with Yaakov of the room that Yitzchak was in, so she tells Yaakov, out of the love that I have for you, I brought you up to this point. I can't take you any further. You're on your own, and Hashem's going to help you from here. So the Rashiva pointed out that what was she doing over here? She wasn't telling Yaakov anything that Yaakov didn't know. She was trying to give chizuk, and she was giving chizuk by conveying her love. She had over here, Rivka, Yaakov's mother, had to say, I did all this for you because I love you. But Zem in the Fun, that even a relationship like that between Rivka and Yaakov, Yaakov needed to hear the I love you. And Yaakov hearing the I love you was going to give him the chizuk that he needed to go finish that, to go do that job with the proper mindset, with the proper hislavos, with the proper commitment, with the proper focus. If he messed up, it was a big trouble. And Rivka understood that you got to say the words, I love you. And I love you, and I brought you until this point. And that would give him the chizuk that he needed just to hear those words again, which I'm sure he knew very well how much his mother Rivka loved him. But she needed to convey that. He needed to hear it again. She needed to verbalize it. And through saying it, the person that you're saying it to hears it and appreciates it. But through saying it, like all Musr, it's a Musr Mispilo Seder for you too. And you deher it more, and you appreciate more, and you feel it more yourself. So when you give a compliment, you're conveying all these things. You're conveying to her that she's doing her own baila and that you appreciate it. You're focusing on the milas, and you're thereby creating that higher level of chavivas just by doing a simple thing of focusing on the things that you know. And it's important to hear. We have to remind ourselves it's important to hear what we know, what we assume we conveyed a million times, but it's important to continue conveying that again and again. And it gives a tremendous amount of chizuk to the person who hears it, and it gives a tremendous amount of chizuk to the hargasha to the person who says it. I remember the Rosh Yeshiva pointing out that Chazal say that the reason why Sarah was zocha to no longer be an akara, which she naturally was, and to be able to have Yitzchak, was because of a certain sensitivity she had with Avram Avinu. At this point in time, Avram did not yet have Yishmael with Hagar. So it was unclear as to whether the reason why they weren't having children was a result of an issue with Avram or if it was a result of an issue with Sarah. But she said the words, Atzarani Hashem Yiladus, that Hashem prevented me from having children. By saying the words Atzarani Hashem Yiladus, she took responsibility for the fact that they weren't having children. Now, if you think about it, it's very strange because Shkayach, she's taking responsibility. She's not a doctor. She doesn't know whose fault it is. So what does that mean? She's taking responsibility. She's not really taking responsibility. Avram Avinu knows quite well that just because she says it's my fault doesn't mean it's her fault. It could be it's his fault. But what she was conveying to Avram Avinu was, I'm taking the blame. It's not your fault. I have no tainas on you. I'm sensitive to how you feel about this whole situation, and I know you're concerned about that maybe it's your fault, so I'll say it's my fault. What does it help to say it's your fault? It doesn't help to say it's your fault, because you don't know it's your fault. But she was basically just conveying to Avram Avinu that I'm sensitive to your feelings. And as a result of that, Hashem said, oh, now you're going to be Zocha to be the aim of Klal Yisrael. From the fact that the Malachim decided, you know what, let me do a little session over here and boost the Chavivas between Avram and Sarah, you see the chashivas that has, in Hashem's eyes. When we do boost the relationship ourselves, as Sarah did between her and Avram, you see the tremendous char that Hashem gives for such a thing. She was zocha to no longer be in Akar.
Could you say over there that she really, I think by Leah, when she named God, she did it. She, like, one of the shatim was that she was doing it. She was saying, like, she felt betrayed. And there's before, I forgot who, but there's a mefarsh that says that the reason she did it was to get rachamim from Hashem. So it could be the reason she was saying it was to get rachamim from Hashem. Like, look, Hashem, look what you're doing to me. You're for stopping me from having children.
So you're saying a bigger chiddush? I mean, I'm pretty sure, I didn't look at the Chazal inside recently, but I'm pretty sure that it says over there that it's because of the sensitivity that she showed to Avram Avinu. You're saying it was just Ma'orah more Rachmanis in her tefillah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure. I didn't look at the Chazal again recently, but I'm pretty sure that the Mashmos over there appears that it's because of the sensitivity that she had to Avram Avinu. So you see the chashivas, the malachim decided to do it. You see the schar that we get, Sarah was zocha to be the aim of Klal Yisrael. The way to do it is relatively easy. It's a compliment. A compliment brings tremendous simcha, especially when you're complimenting in a way that is sending the message that you're fulfilling a tremendous part of your tafka b'chayim. Giving a compliment not just makes her feel like $1 million and brings that simcha to her and creates the happy atmosphere, but it creates chavivas in your mind also, because by definition, when you're giving a compliment, you're focusing on the milus of the person that you're complimenting, and that's going to create a chavivus. And complimenting is going to convey what people need to hear. It's going to convey that love, which is an extremely powerful way of giving chizuk. And it's not something that we could take for granted. I said it a million times. I conveyed it a million times. Don't they know? That's not the way we work. If that's the way, if even Yaakov Avinu didn't work that way, right? You can't tie a nashim da'in kalos on Yaakov Avinu. And even Yaakov Avinu didn't work that way. And Rivka understood that. Even he needed to hear it. So we need to say it. I think it's particularly difficult to get into this mindset of responsibility, because it's a very mundane turnaround. When a person is dating, so he's looking for what's best for me, right? That's the whole focus of dating. Let me find the shidduch that's best for me. And now you get married, and the mindset all of a sudden has to become, okay, my job is just to give and to take care. So you're looking for the person who's going to be the best for you. And then when you finally find them, you have to switch the mindset of, okay, now I have to switch to my job is to just give and give and give and take care and take care and take care and not focus on what am I getting out of this? So even though when you were looking for a wife, you were focusing on what am I going to get out of this? Because that's how I'm going to pick the best person, the person who's best for me. You don't look for, okay, let me find somebody who's really, really needed so I could have so many opportunities to give. I never heard of anyone who dated like that. But so it's a switch of the mindset. And I think that causes a lot of frustration to people in marriage. When it comes to children, people understand my job is to take care of my kids. Nobody walks into the house after a hard day of work and has the attitude of, I had a hard day at work, why aren't my kids taking care of me? Right? They understand the relationship. If people would have that mindset, it would be a lot easier to take care of a person's wife also. It's our responsibility to take care of our wives, that's our achrayus. We don't get married to take care of ourselves. We get married to be mekayim v'simach hasishto. That's why we're getting married. So if we have that mindset that my job is to take care of the family and I'm not married to get for marriage. I'm married because that's part of my achrayus to give. It'll probably be a lot easier to go into this mindset of complimenting, of expressing positivity, of developing more chavivus, of creating love, talking with sensitivity, and hopefully that will bring us the schusim like it brought Sarah, of having an amazing home. Rabbi Sain?
I know you've been focusing this mostly on relationships between a husband and wife, but technically everything you're saying is relationships with anyone, right? Or
yes. I don't think these aspects of developing relationships are specific to husband and wife. There was very, very rarely, if ever, you know, the Rosh Hashiva gave specific husband-wife shmuzim. It was always about ben al mechavera relationships and then kolshkein in marriage. You know, it's and echanami. These yisodos apply in any relationship and any ben al mechavera situation. These yisodos are very, very applicable. The level of importance that Hashem puts on the relationship between a husband and wife seems to get greater focus. But yes, it's lavdafka husband and wife technique. It's that was the chazal from Parshas Naso, that this is the building block for Benalim Chavero. You get good at it at home, it's easy to do it anywhere else.
Well, wasn't the Rosh Hashiva famously not really into compliments?
For Talmidim?
Yep. And I presume he wasn't exactly complimenting the Hanhala either.
Well, Talmidim, the Hanhala was also his Talmidim. He was definitely very into conveying love. There's no question about that.
Right, but that's like a bit of a different, like, Nakuda, no?
That is different Nakuda. I'm not sure why he wasn't into conveying compliments. He did have he did convey compliments subtly. If you asked a good question in Shir, you got the body language from him of that was a Gavalka question. Yashikayach, I'm very excited that you asked it. He didn't say it. I don't know why. I could guess, but I'm not sure what that's worth, so I won't. But yeah, it's true. Hitaka gave me a compliment once in private, but at least I think it was a compliment. Maybe it was a criticism. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm not sure why he was why amongst Talmidim he wasn't like that.
Just throwing out there, it could be because certain compliments are more childish than others. Right, like I think the compliments that you're referring to are more, not really compliments, but more appreciating someone or expressing appreciation or pointing out that you did. I think a lot of compliments, when people give compliments, they think they're giving a compliment, but it's exaggerated or it's just like I'm a big boy. I don't need a compliment. And then the compliment kind of backfires sometimes. But right. I think you're talking about a different kind of compliment, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely got to be sincere. If the compliment is not sincere, it'll backfire. He definitely used to say things that gave people a tremendous amount of chizik in terms of what they could accomplish. You know, I heard him a few times walk into the high school to give a shmooze, and he would start out by saying, "Oh, I see so many new branches over here. Every two of you could open a branch." You know, there was definitely a lot of that kind of positive.
Did you hear that by Bruce Miller's also?
Yeah.
Is Hakar Satov and compliments, are you using the compliments to basically be Hakar Satov in some sense? like generally, like you're being macrotive to your wife, you know, presumably, like, is there like a different like signaling of that's not being macrotive, just like stating awareness?
It depends what you mean by Makar Tov.
Like if she cooked a nice supper, you know, or it's like, thank you for, you know, you could at least start from there. You could also maybe like say something about the quality of the food and so on. That's...
Yeah, but let's say you would say something a little bit more than that. Let's say you would say something along the line, instead of saying that was delicious, let's say you would say, you know, often I'm having a rough day. And when I think about the fact that I'm coming home to you and you're home making a really nice supper for me, that helps me get through my day.
Rebbe's a professional.
Right. How much more meaningful would that be? It's not just, okay, you're a good cook.
That's saying the depth of your hergish for the Hakar Satov.
Right, right. But that's something like that would be conveying a lot more, something a lot more meaningful, not just that was delicious, but that took care of me.
You're like, it's like telling her the tova that she did, no? Like, is that what you, like a compliment is to like spell out and articulate like fully that the nature of what like kama milos tova selenu?
I don't know, you gotta be a little creative and have you figure on the pulse and figure out what needs to be said, but
you could also get a feel for your spouse once you're in that situation.
What Rebbe was, is let's say you're giving a compliment, is that like a bad thing to do if let's say you're frustrated or upset and you realize that your wife is also upset, so you want to use complimenting as like a way of like just like, you know, like calming everybody down, like all right, I'll give a compliment. I can't be speaking, I shouldn't be speaking, I'm just curious. Like,
first have a beer, man. That's
I tried that one time. I think Rebbe.
Well, you were under 21 then, Mike.
Okay, Shakar, thank you very much. I don't know if anyone's questions.
But... Yeah, you should have told us not to let our wives hear this, because now I can't use these tricks.
Nashim Daitan Kalos, you don't need to worry.
I heard that too.
It's really, it's better that she heard it, because now it's a machayev.
Oh,
I'm getting myself into more trouble.
You're like the sisterhood.